Let us now turn to the epistle of Paul, the apostle to Philemon. The epistle of Paul, the apostle to Philemon. And we may look this evening at verses 23 and 24. Philemon, verses 23 and 24. There salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. There salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. In these words we find the Apostle Paul drawing to a close this particular epistle which he penned as he was led by the Holy Spirit of God. And as is common with the Apostle in his letters and in his epistles, we find him towards the conclusion of them in a very homely manner, drawing attention and bringing salutations from others. Paul was one who had experienced the grace of God, and that was marked in his experience and comes out in his letters, not least in this, the esteem that Paul had for his fellow believers. And Paul was once a person who persecuted, by his own admission, the Church of God. And in what manner did he do that? But principally by stretching out his hand to vex the church, by stretching out his hand to vex the disciples of Christ. And so what we find is, friends, when Paul, or Saul, was converted and when he became a new man in Christ, then this aspect of his character altered, radically altered. Whereas once he thought to do God's service was to persecute and to lay hold upon the disciples of Christ and to put them in prison and to endeavor to bring them away from the decided opinions that they have concerning the Son of God, when he became a new man in Christ, we see a man with a very different attitude to the people of God. And surely that is something that we should still see in the Church of Christ. It may be granted that those who are converted, especially within the Church, may never have gone to the extent that Saul of Tarsus went. But friends, there should be, nonetheless, where there is grace in the soul, there ought to be what Paul evidently had, a love for the Lord's people. A love for fellowship with Christ's people. And friends, is that not something and a subject indeed that ought to occupy our minds here this evening as a congregation, as it were, more than ordinarily? Because here we are on the Wednesday before a communion season. A communion season when we trust, if the Lord will, the professing people of God here in this congregation will take their places at the Lord's table, and that in holy fellowship. Not just with Christ, the head of the church, but with one another in that holy ordinance. And so a communion season, well, by the very name of it, a communion season ought to be marked out by the spirit of fellowship. The spirit of fellowship, communion with God, but also the communion of the saints. Communion of the saints that comes out so beautifully in the epistles of Paul. There salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. Here is the spirit of fellowship, Christian fellowship, indeed. And that's our subject this evening. Christian fellowship, and I want to add to that wide and glorious subject these two points that we see coming out, I believe, in verses 23 and 24. Suffering together and labouring together. Here is real Christian fellowship by the admission of the apostle himself. There salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner. My fellow prisoner, there is the suffering together in Christ Jesus for the sake of Christ. And verse 24, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers, working together in Christ's cause, seeking the glory of Christ, seeking the advance of the gospel, my fellow laborers. And so here, as we see even in the way it is put here, fellow prisoner, fellow laborers, well, what do we have but fellowship? Christian fellowship. Christian fellowship, suffering together and laboring together. 2 points here tonight, as the Lord might help us. Firstly, we will note that Paul sent greetings from his fellow prisoner. There salute thee, verse 23, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. And then secondly, Paul sent greetings from his fellow laborers. Verse 24, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. These 2 points. Well, we have this fellow prisoner, Epaphras, and we had that name, Epaphras, coming up in the reading that we had in Colossians chapter 1, where we read of this man, as he was termed there, in verse 7, a fellow servant. Colossians chapter 1, as he also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. And so it would appear that Epaphras was one who was known of Philemon. We need to understand that Philemon is located in Colossae. That is where his home is. That is where his church is. He is a member of the church there. And so, presumably, he was aware of this person, Epaphras, a fellow prisoner of the apostle. We're not told the precise details, but this is the particular way in which the apostle describes the man, a fellow prisoner. Whether he was located in Rome or elsewhere, one assumes it was in Rome where Paul was, he is termed my fellow prisoner. But more than that, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. There's the fellowship. There's the element of fellowship coming out. My fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. You see, the apostle was very clear in his own understanding. He was one who was imprisoned for the sake of Christ. So remarkable, isn't it? And so poignant, and something that we believe must have occupied the thoughts of the Apostle Paul many, many times, day and night, to think that he had been instrumental in imprisoning the saints of Christ, and to think that he himself now was a prisoner of Christ and for Christ. What a difference. What a turnaround. How many deep and wondrous thoughts must have passed through the mind of the apostle. And yet, does he not feel it as evidently other apostles such as Peter and John felt it? An honor, a great and a high honor, to be imprisoned for the sake of Christ. My fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. And surely the very personal way in which Paul writes, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. Any fact itself was a comfort, was it not, to the apostle. You see, there was a suffering together. And when we suffer together, then we have a fellowship, one toward the other. Now that's just a truth. We are social creatures. Even unconverted people, when they pass through a time of conflict, war time and the like, when there's rationing, there's a kind of a fellowship. We're all in it together. the suffering, and we try to help one another. And then, as they look back on these times with the perspective of history, well, there's a fellowship even then to think that we pass through these times, difficult times, together, having some degree of sympathy one toward the other. And so even the very way we are made, we're social creatures, that doesn't pass away when a person is converted. And it is a wonderful element then of the Church of Christ that there is fellowship. And not least in this, suffering together. Maybe in our day, at present, we don't know what the future may hold. We are not in prison. We're not threatened. We can meet here in Auckland this evening with freedom and liberty, and we should be thankful to God for that great mercy. But do the saints of God, as they approach a communion season, do they not have a fellowship in suffering together, in spiritual things? They are fighting a common enemy in the world and in the flesh and in the devil. They have a fellowship with David and with Peter and with Paul. But they also have a fellowship one with the other. And that is very precious. They speak the same language. And you know how precious it is when you are overseas and you meet with someone who comes from the same community or speaks the same language as you. And the more strange the environment, the more thankful you are to meet with, as it were, a fellow traveller who can speak the same language, who knows perhaps some of the people from your hometown, and you can feel a bond with them to some degree. And how much more, as we perhaps know, when we come across, and sometimes we do, those who have a sympathy. We may not be agreed on everything, as it were. We may be those who profess the Reformed faith. They may have different views on certain things, but there may be a fellowship nonetheless. In the gospel of Christ, there may be some common ground for which we are very thankful in the workplace or in some other situation. How thankful, especially when we are passing through a world that is so hostile in this our day to the Christian. Well then, here is Paul. What a hostile environment he was in. Imprisoned in Rome. The Christian faith is spreading abroad. But think of the world in which it was spreading. The Roman world. The multiplicity of gods, the immorality of the world in that day, all of these things. Well, how thankful Paul was that he could bring to bear upon this letter to Philemon and bring forth the greetings of this man Epaphras. There, salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. My fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. What a bond of holy fellowship there was here. Now, we noticed, of course, in the reading in Colossians that this man was described as a fellow minister. And there are degrees of fellowship. The Lord's people who are rooted and grounded in Christ, even in this world, have a fundamental fellowship in the Saviour. They are saved by the same Christ. They are under the same precious shed blood. What a holy fellowship, a remarkable fellowship. Strong bond. They are going to the same destination in glory. They have the same Holy Spirit indwelling them. They have a sympathy to the same gospel truths. But some have a fellowship in other things, and we see it here, for example, in regard to the ministry. Not only did Paul have a fellowship with Epaphras fundamentally in Christ, but he also had a fellowship in the calling to the ministry. And that's a very precious thing. It must needs be. We find the Saviour calling men to the ministry, and he didn't just call one. But he called Peter and John and Andrew, And surely that, with regard even to the family bond between Peter and Andrew, it must have been an added bond, that they were both called to be fishers of men. That wasn't for everyone, nor is it in this our day. But oh, what a precious fellowship there is when we have fellowship in that regard. And so too in our own Presbyterian system, with regard to office bearers, ministers and elders sitting on the same church courts, for example, well, that's fellowship. That's fellowship in the gospel. That's fellowship in the maintaining of the cause of Christ amongst us. My fellow prisoner. Ah, yes, friends, but here's something, as it were, that's even almost going beyond this. Not only were Paul and Epaphras fellow believers, not only were they fellow ministers of Christ, but they were fellow prisoners in Christ Jesus. They were fellow sufferers, passing through, as it were, a similar experience. And that must have added to their fellowship. A very wonderful element. There, salute the Epaphras. He doesn't say, my fellow believer, although that would be true, or my fellow minister, as that was true and rightly used elsewhere. But this is something else that's true. My fellow prisoner, my fellow sufferer in Christ Jesus. What wonderful fellowship. And we have that, as it were, my fellow sufferer in Christ Jesus. We see it coming out, of course, in the Acts of the Apostles, and we believe that in the overruling providence of the Most High, the outcome of persecution in the early church was to bind the disciples closer together in holy communion and fellowship one with the other. And we see it coming out there, for example, in Acts chapter 4. Peter and John are preaching the gospel. They are arrested and they are questioned about this matter, and we find that they were warned. They were told that they were not to speak in the name of Jesus anymore. These enemies of the cause of Christ called them, and they commanded, verse 18 of chapter 4 in Acts, commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. And what do we find? Do we find that this is a wedge to drive the disciples apart? Well, not at all. If so, it is unsuccessful. But Peter and John, you see, the Spirit of God ensures that that is taken notice of. Not just Peter that's the spokesman, and we wonder, was John agreed? But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye, for we, plural, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. There's fellowship in suffering, being threatened. That is suffering. If you were threatened on the street, you would say that's suffering. You would have a right to go to the police and complain about this person who's threatening you, your neighbor, threatening you. Well, this was suffering. They were being threatened. And being threatened, dear friends, in something that was very dear to them, the preaching of the gospel and maintaining that in liberty. Well, we see that they are bound closer together in holy fellowship. And again there in Acts chapter 5, towards the end, we find that things escalate. And so far as the apostles are concerned, they are called, and we read, and to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. It's not just threats now, but there's physical violence. Well, is there a division now? Is fellowship going to be broken, asunder? not with these disciples of Christ. And they departed, we read, from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. There's the fellowship. They were passing through these difficult, trying experiences together. That could not but bind them together in holy fellowship. And so it was, we believed, till death ultimately did part, the most part of the disciples, one from the other over time. They were parted. But in their suffering, for the sake of Christ, they were united in fellowship one toward the other. There salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. Do we not feel that Paul is as it were, expressing something here of love and fellowship and commendation of this man? My fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. We are suffering together. We are passing through this time of difficulty and trying experience together in fellowship. My fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. I remember hearing of believers in Spain, I think it was. Don't know when it was. Time of conflict sometime in church history. That they were admitting how difficult these times were when they were persecuted and congregations were diminished and some forsook and departed because of the difficulties of the fiery trial. And they were being asked about these times, admitting of course it was difficult and trying. But one said, then you knew who were for Christ. You knew then and had fellowship then that was something that can't quite be repeated in a time of peace. And so that must indeed be the case. Those who are like the Covenanters were in Scotland, for example, and others who were suffering down through the years. Indeed, we don't need to look much further than our own particular church in Scotland, where they had to meet in the open air, because no one would give them a piece of ground to build a church on. Well, then they knew who they had fellowship with, who were standing for the truth. Then they knew who were sympathetic to the stand that was being taken, for example. And what fellowship they must have had. And what fellowship must needs be when believers pass through shared suffering and trial. And as I said earlier on, that may not be our case. And we're thankful, of course, that we're not in the fiery trials. But in a sense we are. How small we are compared to the masses in the city of Auckland. And is that not something that should be precious to us, as it were, with regard to our fellowship one with the other? Although we be few in number, as one of our own ministers said, there is a special blessing in shining for Christ in a dark day. And there is a special fellowship in shining together for Christ in a dark day, and holding fast to the form of sound words in a dark day, and holding fast to the things that we hold dear in fellowship in a dark day. My fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. As one writer who is very familiar with the Greek language puts it, my fellow war captive. There's that idea, my fellow war captive. Well, what fellowship there must have been in time of war for the Anzacs, for example, when they would be called up to serve. There would be fellowship even amongst these worldly men in the Second World War. And how much that fellowship would have been felt as they departed New Zealand and Australia to serve distant lands. And how that fellowship must have been strengthened when they were on the field of battle together, fighting a common foe. But how very much strengthened it must have been when they were imprisoned together as prisoners of war, suffering together. Well, if that be true even of worldly people in time of conflict, when they are fighting under the same banner, how much more in regard to Christ's cause? How much more sympathetic we should be one toward the other? How much more we should feel a love one toward the other in fellowship, in shared experience of conflict in spiritual things? There salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. And then in the second place, Paul brings greetings from his fellow laborers. Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. Again, the word fellow brings out that idea of fellowship. And the very fact that Paul acknowledges them and acknowledges their fellow labor indicates to us that this was something that Paul appreciated. He appreciated it. The word here can be translated, my fellow workers. My fellow workers. And that's it. In the gospel ministry, there is labor. Labor. And there can be difficult times, trials. And that holds true for the eldership in general. There can be trials and difficulties. The disciples knew it in their day. Elders have known it throughout the history of the church. Ministers of the gospel. There's labor. There's work to be done. And as we are in this world, work has its stresses and it has its strains, even in our calling. And we know that. And you know that. You, those of you who are in the workplace, you know that if you have difficulties in the workplace, then those who are your colleagues, if they have the same difficulties, you feel some sympathy. You can discuss the problems. You have some familiarity with these things. And that can serve to bring you together through shared experience. Well, so too in the cause of Christ. In a higher sense, my fellow laborers, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, there they are. And Paul calls them his fellow workers. What humility, of course, on the part of the apostle. So far was Paul from being one who looked down on others who were working in the cause of Christ. He is an apostle. And they were not apostles, but fellow laborers. That's what he saw them, at least first and foremost. Whether it was apostles Paul was thinking of, or elders or ministers, Paul could say, my fellow laborers, my fellow laborers. I esteem them, I love them. And we have fellowship in this work. That was the bond of fellowship. Just as the shared suffering with Epaphras as a fellow prisoner was a bond of fellowship, so too the work to which they were called was a bond of fellowship. My fellow laborers. A wonderful bond of fellowship indeed, when that bond, dear friends, is an interest in Christ's cause and an interest in the furtherance of it. Seeking the good of Zion, prayerfully desiring the conversion of souls, prayerfully desiring that the gospel ministry would be used of Christ and used of the Spirit to the comfort of the saints of God. My fellow laborers, that's it. That's what Paul called them. And you see that each of them has a name. Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas. Now, what would be true? If we were to list four names in any congregation, as it were, just as four names are made mention of here, had different personalities. They had different gifts. Yet Paul said of all of them, my fellow laborers. We see the name Demas here. Think of Demas, who have forsaken me, having loved the present world. Well, whether that was for a season or all time, we leave that question. But, or whether that was after this event, at this snapshot, Paul could say of all of these, my fellow workers, with whom I have fellowship in the work of the gospel. Wonderful fellowship, very precious fellowship indeed, and we should count it that, friends. Laboring together in the cause of Christ. Ministers, elders, yes, they have a special fellowship, but also all of us desiring the good of Christ's cause. And of course, that's something surely that brings us together, brings people from other congregations to Auckland, as has been the case down through the years. I know that some of them are not so well and able to travel now. But do you remember those who used to come to the communion season, those whom we hope will come? And that's fellowship, desiring to be together around the things of the cause of Christ, desiring the good of Zion, laboring together. My fellow laborers. And you see, just as Paul could say in verse 23, there salute thee, there brings greetings and hopeful encouragements. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. So too the idea surely is, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers in Christ Jesus. My fellow laborers in Christ Jesus. Well, what a bond of fellowship. Very much like the way in which Reverend Alexander McPherson opened up his very nice book on James Fraser, the missionary minister in southern Rhodesia, as it was then, Zimbabwe now. And it's just such a simple way in which he begins that book. He says of James Fraser was my friend. So simple, but so special. James Fraser was my friend. And then he goes on to note, for 7 years we labored together in a heathen land. For the good of souls. I can't get the whole bit. That was the fellowship that they had. He hadn't forgotten it. James Fraser was my friend. My friend in the gospel. My friend in shared experience there in the burden and heat of the day. My friend labouring together. And that was labour. In James Fraser's case and Alexander McPherson's case, there was real labour going on there. Labouring together, working together, suffering together, suffering disappointments together, discouragements together, and yet also hopeful things together and joyful things together. And that's it. That, dear friends, is how it should be in the cause of Christ. Because we have, of course, in the Word of God, that precious doctrine of the communion of saints, not least brought out here in these simple verses that we're looking at tonight, brought out also in the Confession of Faith, chapter 26. Saints, we read by profession, are bound to maintain a holy fellowship and communion in the worship of God. And, is that it? No, goes on to say, and in performing such other spiritual services as tend to their mutual edification. And here was one in this simple salutation. The simplicity of a salutation being brought by the pen of the Apostle Paul, writing to Philemon. He doesn't just ignore this, but he sends greeting from other believers to Philemon. He sends greeting from a fellow prisoner and from fellow laborers in order to encourage. and as we approach a communion season due to begin on the morrow. I, as the minister in the Sydney congregation, would desire to bring to yourselves greeting from my own congregation, from my elders, from the deacons, from the church members. I would bring you greeting. Fellowship and prayerful love and desire for your spiritual well-being and good here in Auckland and that of your minister. And may you indeed prosper, and may the communion season be a time of blessing amongst us. There salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow labourers. May God bless his word to us. Parnell, will you pray, please?